Welcome to the Higher Ed Jobs Podcast. I'm Andy Hibble, the Chief Operating Officer and one of the co-founders of Higher Ed Jobs.
And I'm Kelly Sherwin, the Director of Editorial Strategy. Today, we have Justin Zackel, who is a communication professional who has contributed to Higher Ed Jobs since 2011 with articles about career development and the job search. He's worked at five institutions during his career in higher education, helping faculty, staff, and administrators share their story. Justin currently works in communications and public affairs at Slippery Rock University, and we are so excited to have him on our podcast today. Thanks, Justin, for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back.
So we're going to talk about a recent article that you wrote for us regarding rugged flexibility. So in your article, you said things are going to change in your career or at your institution. Some changes you will hate. Developing a comfortable relationship to change through a ruggedly flexible response is a far better approach than simply reacting emotionally. So Justin, just kind of set the stage for this conversation here. Can you kind of talk about what are some changes in higher ed and how we can address rugged flexibility, or I guess backing up, what is rugged flexibility?
Well, I'm fascinated with change. Despite working in higher education where we seem to be adverse to change, I'm a communicator, so I think change makes for good stories. And I also appreciate growth. And you can't have growth without change. In higher education, we've had so many changes in recent years, and it's just very important for higher education professionals to recalibrate their relationship to change. And that's where a term, rugged flexibility, it's a term that I heard from the author Brad Stahlberg in his book, Master of Change. He coined this term. And rugged flexibility simply means it's a mind frame that marries the qualities of resiliency and stability, but also the ability to adapt to altered circumstances and conditions, and to not just withstand change, but to thrive in the midst of it. And there's no question in higher education, we've had a lot of change, and there's going to be more changes to come. I mean, there's gradual change. There's student-facing workers have to deal with students who are arriving on campus underprepared for college. They have more anxiety than ever. And these are all downstream effects from the pandemic. There's sudden change. You have new managers coming in wanting to shake things up and make sweeping changes. There's a lot of turnover at the president's level. The terms of presidents now are now shorter than ever. They're only 6 years, and that affects a lot of change at institutions. But I'd say the biggest change is how higher education responds to the market. That's the job market. For workers, there's a lot of turnover. I know that Coupa HR released a survey recently that said volunteer turnover rate for higher education staff is at its highest point since they began measuring it. And it's also change with the competition for students. There's the approaching enrollment cliff. So after 2025, the traditional college-going population is expected to shrink by about 15 percentage points. So there's change that's happened, there's change that's come, and it's just very important for higher education professionals to be flexible and to thrive in the midst of change.
I think that's a really, really great summary. And I'm really glad you brought up basically the end of 2000 recession era and the decrease in the birth rate. I mean, when you start talking about a fact that you can't change, I always kind of come back to that one. There's fewer kids in that era that are going to be able to go to college. So if you're coinciding a strategic goal of growing your enrollment by 25% and you're going against the headwind of doing that, it's kind of like trying to say you're trying to drive through a snowstorm and make good time. You're just not going to be able to do it. You need to understand that these are the circumstances. I think you did provide a great definition of rugged flexibility, but can you maybe provide what a good example of rugged flexibility might be as it's actually in action and applied?
Well, if you look at a change continuum, so there's two extremes. So when you experience change, and this is good or bad, but for the sake of this conversation, we'll talk about a change that's that presents a challenge for you. One extreme is you resist the change. You go to HR, you go to your manager, you complain about it, you experience this discomfort or whatever, what have you. Or you decide like, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go and I'm going to apply for a different job. You go to higher ed jobs and you apply to 75 open positions. I believe we call that rage applying. So that's one end of a continuum. And then the other one is, this passive resignation where you simply accept the terms and you just try to deal with it and survive. Rugged flexibility is in the middle of that continuum. It's identifying the challenges and trying to, you know, leverage something to your advantage. And that whole term rugged flexibility, I mean, it's kind of a riff on the your rugged individualism, which is like the, you know, the American ideal of you know, self-determination and controlling your own destiny. But as higher education professionals, you know, we're not entrepreneurs or solo practitioners. We need others, and we need, you know, the social infrastructure, and, you know, we are affected by the changes around us. But yeah, that's where, I mean, whenever you find yourself in the midst of change and how to apply rugged flexibility.
I love that you brought rugged individualism into it. I think if I was to differentiate between the two, when you look at rugged flexibility, actually you do have control of that. That is something that you cannot control the circumstances that happen to you. That's the acknowledgement of the rugged flexibility, but you can control how you view those circumstances. And if you look through a number of different theologies, that's definitely something that's out there that people have looked at for generations and generations. One of the things that struck me in the article, and anybody who knows me mildly well knows I'm a huge fan of Bruce Springsteen's.
So, really?
Yeah, believe it or not. Wow. And this is one of my favorite articles ever, because I believe it is the first article ever on higher ed jobs, and there's thousands and thousands of them, that has ever made a Bruce Springsteen reference. So I'm delighted that I have the ability to ask the question on the podcast. So in the article, there's a reference made to Bruce, and it's about tragic optimism. And let's talk about that. Bruce Springsteen once told The Atlantic that the heart of wisdom is to, quote, accept the world on its terms without giving up the belief that you can change the world, unquote. How does this relate to tragic optimism, and how do you apply tragic optimism in our lives?
Okay, first hold
on one second. Yeah. Just one other thing that I'd like to add. If possible, could you use lyrics and titles of songs from Bruce Springsteen's catalog to answer this question?
I cannot do that. No, okay. I know, like, if I could, if you're experiencing some change in New Jersey and you needed to get the heck out of New Jersey, maybe I could do that, but we're okay. Born to run, but no. Okay. But I just want to also say that it took a lot of restraint for me not to write a career advice article and mention Bruce Springsteen without saying, don't listen to your boss, but listen to the boss. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Nice.
Calling all higher ed professionals. If you like what you're hearing on the Higher Ed Jobs podcast, subscribe to Higher Ed Jobs Insider Update, your weekly ticket to the latest opportunities, trends, and insider tips in the world of higher education, delivered directly to your inbox. Don't miss out on featured job postings, career advice, job search tips, and more. Subscribe now and stay one step ahead in the ever-evolving landscape of academia. Head to higheredjobs.com/insider to sign up. Your future self will thank you. Once again, that's higheredjobs.com/insider.
Well, I must say, Andy, I think it's funny how I know you love Bruce Springsteen too much, and you referenced him as Bruce, like you know him like a personal friend. So you talked about Bruce. So,
maybe Bruce Wayne in my life has had a similar impact, but no, Bruce is Bruce in my life.
Can I put you on the spot, and can you tell people how many times you've seen Bruce, your friend Bruce, play?
at least 20. I've lost count, though.
At least. I'm sure it's multiplied by.
No. I think that's a fairly accurate count.
Really?
Okay. Well, let's not argue about it. Yeah. we'll throw that back to you, Justin.
Sorry, Justin, for the diversion. If you're looking to have Springsteen conversations with me, podcast at higheredjobs.com, or send me a message on X at higheredcareers. I will gladly respond to any thoughts you may have about Bruce Springsteen.
But don't ask about Journey.
Do not ask about Journey.
Okay, so back to tragic optimism, Justin.
So tragic optimism, it's a related term to rugged flexibility. Tragic optimism, in Stolberg, the author of Master of Change, defines it as the ability to maintain hope and find meaning in life despite its inescapable pain, loss, and suffering. I think of that like that's part of the human condition, not just, you know, a work experience. You know, we gain meaning in life through our response to unavoidable suffering. I mean, this goes back to Viktor Frankl, a famous psychologist, in his book Man's Search for Meaning. That we get meaning in life by creating the work that we do, or doing a deed, by experiencing something or encountering someone, like beauty, or relating to other people. But the third one is by the attitude that we take toward unavoidable suffering. And that's tragic optimism there. Like, you're going to experience trauma, pain, emotional strife in your life, in your work experience. And how you'll be defined by it is how you respond to that. What actions do you take? And that's why it's important to mention tragic optimism in an article about this concept of rugged flexibility, because growth comes from change, you know. But Stolberg mentioned in his book that, like, you know, there are going to be changes you have that are just, there are circumstances you have, you might not get growth from it. You might not have meaning in all bad circumstances you have, but you can have growth without some change. And that's why this concept of tragic optimism, it coincides with rugged flexibility so much.
And I feel like for folks who may not be familiar, when you're talking about Viktor Frankl, the circumstances of that book was based on his experiences of being a survivor of a concentration camp during the Holocaust. And the theory that he came up with logotherapy, if you haven't read the book and you're looking for inspiration to be able to look at tragic optimism and develop rugged flexibility, I couldn't suggest that book more as a great example to our listeners that's a wonderful way to better understand this concept.
Yeah, and it gets into control. You know, you can control your response to something. You know, that's between a stimulus and a response. You have that ability to control. You know, you may feel like you lost control if changes occur to you in the workplace, but you can change your emotional response and some of the actions that you take in the face of change.
Well, Justin, you know that you are one of our favorite writers for Higher Ed Jobs. And I think one of the reasons why people connect so well with your articles, because you have great practical advice. So we keep referencing your Rugged Flexibility article, but in the article, you discuss the four P's. So for those people who, I hope everyone can take time to read the full article, but if you're listening in the car or on a walk or whatever, when you're listening to the podcast and you don't have time to read the article right now, could you kind of summarize what these four P's are and how it affects our career?
Yeah, this is also taken from Brad Stolberg's book, Master of Change. Yeah, he developed a heuristic that's proven to work in psychotherapy, but it's the four P's of pause, process, plan, and proceed. Okay, so let's give an example of rugged flexibility in action here. Let's just say that you're working at an institution and your coworker leaves and your school decides not to backfill that position, leaving more work for you. That's a change. How do you apply this? Okay, you have to first pause. Allow yourself to feel whatever emotions you have from this circumstance. This could be anger. You know, I can't believe that they're not going to fill this position. You know, what have you. Allow that emotion to consume and feel that. But then you have to move on to process. Okay, you have to consider the facts. Why did they decide not to backfill the position? You know, maybe they're feeling some economic pressures. You know, what's the reasoning behind this? So think of it more, less emotionally and more logically. And then the third P is plan. You know, you have to develop a way further. This gets into action. You know, you might have to take on A, B, and C task. You know, make a plan to do those tasks very well. Measure them with key performance indicators. And because you're doing more work, you might have to let a few balls drop, you know, whether it's from X, Y, and Z tasks. And, you know, you have to communicate that to your employer. And then in doing that plan, you move on to proceed. And that's when you execute the plan. You actually do the work. And then you show your employer the value that you bring to the institution by doing A, B, and C. And then you ask for a raise or a promotion by demonstrating that. Or you might show the consequences of not doing X, Y, and Z tasks to validate the reason that they need to reconsider their decision not to backfill and rehire for that position. So that's just a great example of how you can apply rugged flexibility in the workplace using the four P's.
That's great. I'm so glad that you brought those four P's up and explained it, because it sounds like if someone gets stuck in the state of being so emotional and hanging on to that hurt or that anger, they just can't move forward. And I think we all can acknowledge change is hard. One of my favorite quotes in your article is, when we make changes that we prefer, we are in control. But when unwanted changes occur at work, we might struggle to respond. We strive to restore order. So I think it's just good to acknowledge that, yes, change is difficult, but don't get stuck there. Move on. And like you referenced, use those four P's. So thank you so much for talking about those. So actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to kind of piggyback on this advice and switch over to another reference you made in the article about using routines and rituals, because that can help us process these changes. So do you want to discuss some of those tactics of routines and rituals?
Yeah. So if you're someone who finds comfort in things not changing, you can use routines and rituals in your daily life. I mean, you can go beyond that. And these are things that you do it's not subject to change, the changes around you. These are like your morning routine. You might go for a walk on your lunch break. You might sit down and write for a half hour. It's like building these into your day, your week, your semester. Those are important. And you know, a lot of people think that rituals and routines, these things might stifle creativity or take away from any spontaneity, and they may make life dull or monotonous. But I argue that they give you the slack to better handle the chaos and to generate insights and creative thinking and embrace the other nuances in your life. You know, I stop what I'm doing every day around lunchtime and I go for a walk around the quad in my campus. It helps you reset the day. And that's something I do every day. But another routine or ritual, it might be having lunch with a colleague at the end of the semester, knowing that you go through changes in your career, but you still have those things that you can rely on and seek comfort in traditions and routines and rituals and things like that.
And can I venture and take a guess that part of your ritual is hopefully to listen to the Higher Ed Jobs podcast on a weekly basis? Is that part of your routine?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen to you guys on my way to work sometimes. So I got my kid in the back seat. Sometimes she might react to your voice.
So Justin, we really appreciate where you've taken us and taken our listeners to as far as rugged flexibility. And I kind of feel like we have a little bit of an opportunity here to close out. As you're familiar, you added the last time you were on the podcast, you can't always get what you want to our playlist as far as job search goes, job search and career topics, the Spotify playlist that we have. And I was wondering, based on the podcast today, are there any additions to our Spotify playlist that you'd like to add? And once again, all we ask is choose a song and kind of tell us why you think it'd be good to add to the playlist.
Well, given the theme of this podcast, I got to go Changes by David Bowie.
Nice
one. I thought Andy was going to say, are there any songs, only rule is it has to be a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah. No. I mean, Born to Run really isn't a good reaction to change.
Sometimes it is.
Justin said, that's an option to evaluate. And sometimes you
got to turn and face the change, you know, and there's going to have to be a different man, and time may change me, but I can't trace time. I like it.
There we go. Thank you, Justin, for joining us today.
Thanks, Justin.
No, I appreciate you having me on again. Thanks. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.